go to the book of Psalms chapter 141. Psalms chapter 141. And we're going to look at several different scriptures this morning and continue to look on the subject of the substance of prayer that we started a couple of weeks ago, and doing a short mini series, and then we're going to transition to a few other things after this. All right. Psalms chapter 141, and we'll read the first couple of verses here. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, and give ear unto my voice. When I cry unto thee, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. If you notice here in these few chapters, you'll see a continued trend. Even in 142, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. In chapter 143, hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplication in thy faithfulness, and answer me, and in thy righteousness. But we're going to really start off here in chapter 141 of Psalms, and continue on that idea of substance of prayer. Now, first of all, let's look for just a brief moment on the goal of prayer. I don't know anybody who doesn't want their prayers answered. I don't know anybody who doesn't want their prayers heard. You don't pray for the purpose of just go through the motions of prayer. When we pray, the goal is for the Lord, obviously, to hear our prayer and, of course, to answer our prayer. Now, what is interesting is that the Lord always does answer. Sometimes it's a delayed answer. Sometimes it's a no. Sometimes it is a yes, or sometimes I'm going to work in a different way. And the reason why I mention that, church, is because when the Lord answers, it may not always be how we wanted it to be. But I do believe the Lord answers prayer, right? And oftentimes when we pray, we've asked the Lord to change the circumstances, when really maybe God is trying to change our heart or our spirit, our perspective or our attitude about a particular situation. And so just keep that in mind when we pray. Obviously, it's the goal of prayer. And he says here, make haste unto me. When you make a phone call, let's say that you have to make an emergency phone call. When you pick up your phone and you dial those three numbers that everybody knows, 911, the expectation is that somebody's on the other end of that line. And in your moment of crisis or in your moment of emergency, you're asking for help, whatever the situation may be. You're asking for help and you expect a result. So when you pick up that phone to make an emergency call, the goal is to get help. It's a similar concept when we pray. Of course, the other thing that I want to mention, though, is that the goal should not just be to get an answer. Now, that is obvious. That's a given. When we pray, we're asking for an answer. We're asking God for help. We're asking God to meet something in time of need. But, friend, I believe that our goal should also be to have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. You know, there's things that you talk to your spouse about that you would not talk to anybody else about. There's conversations that you would have with your children that you may not have with anybody else. And so that communication, the part of the goal of that communication, and again, we're illustrating that idea in our communication with the Lord, which is also what prayer is. But part of our goal should not be, the obvious thing is to get an answer. And you will. Amen. It may not be what we want it to be. But part of that goal, church, should also be to have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. Obviously, you talk to the Lord about things that you would not talk to anybody else about. In fact, many times I hear people say something to me, "Oh, Pastor, you know," and it's obvious, "you know, Pastor, please don't share this with anybody right now," or "I'm waiting on this, and I please keep this private," or "not all my family don't know." And of course, we respect that, and we do our best to honor that, right? But I always often will say, I can't say I do it 100% of the time, but I will always try to say, well, the only person that I'm going to talk, or the only one that I'm going to talk to about with you is the Lord, right? Because that's a personal, intimate thing. You've shared something with me. You've shared a burden with me. We've talked about it. We've counseled about it. And if we talk to me, then of course you want me to talk to the Lord about as well. So it's another example is that there's something different. There's a different aspect of our relationship with the Lord that should be our goal. And we mentioned last week that our mindset, church, shouldn't be, well, you know, here's my wish list for this week, Lord. He's not a genie. Amen. God is not a genie. And for the record, I'm glad that I wasn't limited to three prayers. Amen. And if you know this, everybody's seen Aladdin. You all know what I'm talking about. You know, you rub the lamp, you get three wishes, blah, blah, blah. And all, it's all fine and dandy. But I'm glad I'm not limited to three prayers. I mean, I'm glad that God has answered a lot more than three prayer requests for me in my life. Or else I would have been in trouble a long time ago. Because the reality is, church, I need help every single day. I can't stand, and I mentioned that, you know, it's not that we don't want to fellowship. I love visiting with people. I love being around people. But right before we come here, there's really, and don't take this personal now, there's really at that moment only one person I really want to talk to, and that's the Lord. I'm really trying to get in a very personal place. I'm really trying to pour my heart out to the Lord because the reality is, church, I need help. And I need help every single day. And I can't stand here and effectively relay the message from the Scripture that the Lord has led us to if I have not spent some time in prayer and if I've not absorbed that substance of prayer myself, if I've not bathed our lesson in prayer, if I've not bathed our message in prayer, church, I'm not going to be any help to anybody. So what I'm saying is that I'm glad that it wasn't just three times that the Lord has helped me do that. He helps me do that every single day, and I need His help. And for the record, church, sometimes we assume that. You know, well, we assume that the Lord's going to come down and bless, and oftentimes He does, whether we ask Him to or not, just because God's good has got to. But can you imagine how much different church would be if we all got on our knees before church, if we all got on our knees Saturday night and said, Lord, we really need a touch from You today. Lord, we really need Your help. Lord, we really need Your presence to be made known today. God, we need You more than we need anything else. Lord, I need You more than I need You to solve my financial problem. Lord, I need You more than I need You to heal my back. And I'm not saying those aren't needs, friend. I realize maybe you have a financial need. Maybe you have a personal need. Maybe you have a physical need. And I'm not trying to minimize those at all. All I'm saying is, can you imagine what God could do if all of God's people got on their knees at some time before the service? And said, Lord, we want You here. God, You're invite. I mean, we invite people all the time, but have we actually taken time to invite even the Lord to come and worship with us here? So, obviously, the goal of prayer, sir, is a couple of things. We want our prayers to be heard, but it also should be that we are seeking something personal, an intimate relationship with the Lord. The second thing we want to mention today in concerning our substance of prayer is not just the goal of prayer, but also consider the timing of prayer. The timing of prayer. Now, I heard it said before that you should speak to God before you speak to men. And you know what? If we really wanted to get serious about that, and I include myself here, if we really, really wanted to get serious about that thought, that would include even our own spouses. You know, before I even say something I should or should not say to my loved one, how about I talk to the Lord about it? Because now what I've done is I've brought the Lord in on this thing. And the Lord has a way of coming into my old, ugly, and wretched, fleshly heart and kind of starts to filter things out, that starts cleaning things out that don't need to be. You ever done spring cleaning? Right? I think that's also what the Lord does when we go to Him with a humble heart and really asking God to give us what we need, asking God, as we talked about last week, lead me not in temptation, give us this day our daily bread, and the substance of that prayer that's included there. But it's almost like the Lord comes in and is like, okay, I've been invited in. I'll do anything. I'll help you. Of course I want to help you be spiritually strong. Let me just come in here and clean some of these things out. Oh, we got a little bitterness right here. Let's go ahead and clean that out. We don't need that. Oh, we got a little bit of animosity from last night's argument. We really don't need that before we speak to our loved ones today. Oh, yesterday we had a bad day at work and some words were said between a coworker. We probably ought to just go ahead and let go of that. You know, are you with me? Speak to God before we speak to men. If we were really serious about that, it really would change not just our communication, obviously, with the Lord, because we're putting Him first, but then also our communication with others, right? So when we're talking about the timing of prayer in Psalms 5:3. In Psalms chapter 5 and verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. Right? My voice shalt thou hear when? In the morning. O Lord, I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. So, the timing here, now, why do you think he says in the morning? Anybody at all? Brother Kevin? It's when you're first conscious. Now, I will admit to you, Brother Kevin, sometimes I'm not conscious for about an hour after I have some coffee. Just being honest with you, but you're right. Brother Kevin's right. It's when we first wake up. The idea behind the timing of the prayers, it's the first thing that we do, right? Now, again, probably some of you are like me. You wake up. Hopefully you get a devotion. Maybe you do get a cup of coffee. Maybe you pour a Mountain Dew. I don't know what your routine is. But whatever your routine is, maybe you turn on the news. Maybe probably not nothing good there anyway, right? You want to hear some good news, and then pick up a copy of the Word of God, and you'll find good news from a far country as it describes over in the book of Proverbs. But anyhow, that's besides the point. I'm not criticizing you for that. All I'm saying is that whatever your routine is, that prayer ought to be part of that routine. I believe that prayer helps you with your devotion. Lord, help me to grasp this devotion. Lord, give me something from this devotion. Lord, help me as I start my day. Lord, help me as I communicate with people, as I communicate with my loved ones and my spouse. So when we're talking about the substance of prayer, we mentioned the goal, but then the timing, I do believe, is important. The timing of prayer is important. So I believe it's something that we ought to do first thing when we wake up. And of course, every time we speak to this subject, there's always somebody say, well, Pastor, I work third shift and all. And that's fine. Whenever your morning is, then whenever you wake up, then that's when we go ahead and address the Lord, right? Because you probably, have worked all night long. You've come home, maybe did a few things. You've went to bed. And so your nighttime is daytime. So then when you wake up, then, hey, go ahead and go consult the Lord then before you start the rest of your schedule, the rest of your day. So the timing of prayer is important, but then also something interesting that we find in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, probably most of you know this scripture. It's really not that difficult. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. So what does that mean when we're talking about cease? What does the word cease mean? So is it telling us to pray without stopping? Right? Now, can you spend all day on your knees in prayer? It would be good if we could, sure. But we still have to live, don't we? We still have to get dressed and go to work. We still have to fix breakfast. We still have to feed the kids. We still got to get them to school. Whatever the case is, we can't spend all day on our knees in prayer. But that does not mean that we can't spend the day in communication without communication with the Lord. Right? Amen? We can communicate with the Lord when you're going down the road. As I said before, my counsel to you is not to close your eyes while you're driving. Some of us struggle with our eyes open. I can't imagine what it would be with our eyes closed, Brother Tom. You know what I mean? You've seen some of these people. You know, you think, that, you know, hey, right? But you can be an idea of the constant communication with the Lord, right? You know, I'm pretty much in constant communication with my wife. But that doesn't mean that I'm talking to her every single moment of the day. I do have customers to call. I do have clients to call. I do have follow-ups pretty much every single day. But throughout the day, I am in constant communication. If something happens, if something comes up, one of the kids gets sick, I know about it pretty quick, right? I know about it pretty quick. But the reminder is that, no, we're not talking 100% of the time, but we are in constant communication. It can be the same way with the Lord. You're about to head into a meeting. You're about to deal with something. Lord, please help me. Lord, give me wisdom. Let me have a good spirit. You're about to deal with maybe a stressful situation. You're about to go to a doctor appointment. You're about to do something. And you can remain in constant communication with the Lord. Right? So, we're talking about continuing the substance of prayer. We've mentioned the goal of prayer. We've talked about the timing of prayer. Let me say this and we'll move on from that thought. I've heard before that if you only pray when you're in trouble, then you are in trouble. We shouldn't just say, well, Lord, you know, I'll keep you in my back pocket, or the idea of a spare tire, I'll bring you out when I need it, right? How many of you have actually seen your spare tire? When's the last time you actually looked at your spare tire? Oftentimes you get out a spare tire and it's flat, right? I've had that happen before, and the spare tire was no better than the one that blew out on me, right? It doesn't help us, right? Ideally, you want to check that routinely. You want to make sure that it's not dry rotted. You want to make sure that it holds air so that if you need it, it's there. Now, I said I'll have to tell you this. The Lord is not like a spare tire, or shouldn't be treated as a spare tire where you only break out with it every 4 years when you really, really need it. Generally, you see a spare tire when you're out in the middle of nowhere and you can't get help, and you're not anywhere close to anybody, and you know that, hey, you got to get down the road, but so we got to just put this through in a fix or a temporary fix to get to where I got to be. But the harsh reality is, a lot of times that is, Christians, how we treat the Lord. We're using Him. Oh, we come in, and boy, don't take us wrong now, we sound really spiritual. Well, I'm really going through a hard time, Pastor, and I'm really trusting the Lord. Well, did you trust Him before you had this hard time? And for the record, you should trust the Lord when you're going through a hard time. All I'm saying is that you should have trusted Him before you got to the hard time, before you were in the middle of that trial, that circumstance, because we should have already been in constant communication with the Lord, not just when we're in trouble, not just when we're in crisis. Thirdly, the result of prayer. Now, again, we want answers, and we hope for results. I believe prayer changes things. But one thing, or let me give you two quick reasons why oftentimes we don't get the results that we hope for, we pray for. In James chapter 4 and verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust, that war in your members? You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have, you cannot obtain. You fight war and you have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Did you notice there, you have not because you ask not? You know, sometimes you don't get results simply because you don't ask. Right? Simply because you don't ask. And also too, Christian, don't buy into the idea that, well, I shared the prayer request with my church family, so I don't really need to pray about it. If it was important enough for you to come and share with the church family, then it should be important for you to continue to pray about it. Shouldn't it? Now, I'm glad when you do share prayer requests with the church family. And for the record, church family, we ought to take those requests, no matter how big and how small it may seem to you to be. If somebody mentions a prayer request, we ought to pray with them. Amen? It's not a matter of debate. Well, that doesn't really matter. Hey, listen, let me say something. If a kid comes in here and asks you to pray for their puppy because they're sick, pray for their puppy. It won't hurt you. You know, what you're doing is you're empathizing and you're showing compassion by praying for that little boy, that little girl's puppy. And for the record, I have adults sometimes that ask me to pray for their cat, or say, Pastor, yeah, I'm going to pray for them. I mean, I don't want their cat to get sick, or I don't want their cat to die, or their dog. I mean, if they love their pet, why would I want that? Right? So pray. And nothing wrong with that. You know, the kid comes in and says, pray, I have a hard test tomorrow. And, oh, you'll be all right. Did you study? Wouldn't it be better if we just go ahead and pray? Amen. At the Lord. Go ahead, Brother Will. Go ahead. I don't know about that, Will. I've not made that clear where I see. Yeah, I know there's animals, but as far as our pets, I can't tell you that. Animals don't. I don't know. I do think that there is animals in heaven. There's horses and things like that described. Now, whether you're talking about your pets, pets don't have souls. So, you know, I don't know. Now, the Bible does say we should regard the life of our beasts, so we should value them. But anyhow, my point is that if somebody, no matter how big or how small it is, we should pray about those things. But we have not because we ask not. It also says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Again, the Lord's going to answer. It may not be how we want, but the Lord is going to answer that prayer. And the other thought here on sometimes why we don't get the results that we want, it's also because we don't ask, but then you can't get an answer if we're not right with the Lord. Now we're talking about things people don't necessarily like to hear. We don't like to hear, well, the Lord's not hearing my prayer because I'm not right with the Lord. But yet there's scripture that shows us that in Psalms chapter 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, does anybody know what iniquity is? Sin. Pretty good way of summing it up. Now, did I write this or did the Bible, does God's word say it? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, I will tell you this. I think that sometimes the Lord is still gracious to us. I believe that. And sometimes God helps us even when we don't deserve it. In fact, that's the very essence of salvation, isn't it? God helped us and gave us something even though we didn't deserve it. Now, that's how good God is. What we do see here is that obviously this is a clear hindrance to prayer. The first hindrance is that we simply don't ask. The second hindrance is that we've got sin in our lives and in our heart. Now, if we have in our heart bitterness and an unforgiving spirit towards other people, and the Bible clearly, we talked about it last week, says if we don't forgive men their trespasses, your Father in heaven will not forgive you your trespasses. Do we believe that? Or do we just kind of like, well, you know, Lord don't really mean that. I believe the Lord means what he says. Amen. You know, sometimes that's one of the challenges that I think that we have as fathers. And one of the best things that we can do for our children, dads, is if we say we're going to do something, we should do it. And I say that telling you I'm not perfect. You know, there's times where we had plans. I wanted to do this and that. Things happen, and I get that. But I do say, but I always try to give a reason, too. Okay, but with that being said, you know, if we say, hey, if you do that again, you're going to get this, then we should follow through. So that way our children know that, hey, daddy means what he says. All I'm saying is that God, I know, means what he says. Okay? So the Bible says if we guard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. Now again, never mind the fact that God is gracious and sometimes does help us anyway. It also says, Isaiah 59:2, but your iniquities have what? Separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Let's read that again. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now again, you know, I believe that we come to church to get help, to get encouraged. But sometimes there's things that we read that's tough for us to swallow, isn't it? And this is hard to swallow, church, if your sins have hid his face from you. We don't like the idea that God's not going to hear us because of sin in our life. But yet we've already seen two passages of Scripture reference the third that indicates that that is true. So maybe we're not having an effective prayer life. Maybe we're not getting the results that we are hoping for or praying for. Not because God doesn't want to hear, but because of sin in our own life. Maybe that's why in our model prayer, and keep in mind we talked about it's not a prayer of repetition, but it clearly talks about the dealing with the issue of sin and forgiveness and our debts and that sort of thing in the example of the model prayer. So, church, maybe it's time. I'm not going to go around and say, ask you, have your prayers been answered daily? That's not my desire today. I've got enough of my own sin to deal with in my own life. I'm not sitting here and trying to nitpick you apart. But maybe you could evaluate yourself and go before the Lord. Lord, search me, try me. Lord, check me out. Lord, see if there be a wicked way in me. I say that a lot, church, but it is true. If we took time to go before the Lord and ask God to show us, I believe that He will. Let me give you another one, and then we'll move on to our last thought. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. There it is. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weak vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your what? Prayers be not what? That your prayers be not hindered. Now, I'm not going to necessarily deal with everything else in this verse. Obviously, there's a this was clearly a direct subject talking to husbands, dwelling with our wives according to knowledge, and I believe there's a lot of great truths and great lessons here. What I'm pointing out the fact here that if our relationship with our spouses are not right, the Bible does tell us that it is a hindrance to prayer. Right? Now, I'll say this. Probably all of us here, and probably maybe even recently, have been on the way to church, had a disagreement, had an argument, there's problems, there's this. And, you know, and I'm not going to say that I've never been in that position, but I do try to just put that off. Maybe there's a better time for that conversation. Maybe right now is not the time to talk about this or talk about that. Maybe that's now not the time to poke the bear, if you will. Do you all know what I mean by the idea of poke the bear, right? Or maybe you like open up a can of worms. Maybe it's not the best time. I've said before, church, listen real closely about what I'm about to say. One of the biggest problems in marriages is that P word. I'm talking about pride. You probably thought something else, but I'm actually talking about pride. And sometimes it's a matter of putting ourselves last. My wife sent me something. We send each other things all the time, and she sends me things. She reads, you know, things on Christian marriage, and she'll send me, how did that one go about the... if you fight for your spouse, remember that one? If you spend more time fighting for your spouse instead of fighting each other, get a lot more accomplished. Something like that. And I know. But the idea was is if we spend more effort looking out for their best interests instead of our own and fighting for them, in other words, going to the Lord, God protect them. Lord, keep a hedge of protection around them. Hey, when you go pray for somebody, I believe spiritually you're fighting for them. Right? Instead of fighting each other, it would be a lot more successful or be a lot more successful today and have more successful marriage. So, obviously the Bible's clear. If we have sin in our life, then it does hinder our prayer life. The last thing I'll mention is on the passion for prayer. And really, these verses, we could spend a lot of time just dealing with these particular portions of Scripture. But I just want to mention them here because I just want to draw a couple of thoughts out. The passion of prayer in James chapter 5 and verse 13. James chapter 5 and verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. That's a pretty good thing to do. If you're afflicted, pray. Is any merry? Let him sing songs or psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, that should be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and rain not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now again, really, I've actually done a whole message, a whole lesson on just this portion of Scripture, but I just want to mention a couple quick things, and then we got to find a place to stop for the hour or for the Sunday school hour. Elijah or Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. Every time I read that, I'm reminded that we do have a misconception that we think the people, the men and women in the Bible, had something special that we didn't, when in reality, they were flesh and blood just like you and I. They were human just like you and I. They failed. They fell into sin. They did wicked, evil things just like you and I. And here it says Elias was a man subject to like passions. That means that he experienced anger. He experienced jealousy. He experienced the feeling of being lonely. Specifically, we see that. All these things that we experience, he experienced too. But yet, the effectual fervent prayer in verse 16 of a righteous man availing. So what is the idea of fervent prayer? Say that, brother. Integrity? Yeah, I think certainly that's an aspect of prayer. I'm sorry? Compassion? Okay. Passionate. Yeah, is that what you said? I'm sorry. Yeah. Passionate. That's it, guys. Passionate prayer. So let me ask you a question. Moms, if your child is sick, and in the ER trauma room, are you just going to say, "Oh Lord, please protect my son"? Is that how it works, Tuck? You are going to cry to God. You're going to be on your knees begging God to really do something for your child. I don't know any parent or grandparent that loves their children that would not do that. You would be fervently praying. You would be calling everybody that you know, asking them to pray. You would say, "Tell everyone in the whole church, my child is in danger, and I want you to pray for them, please." Literally begging people to pray. I have no doubt that you would fervently pray then. I heard someone say it this way one time. Why do we expect a $1 million answer with a 10-cent prayer? Maybe we don't get the results. Maybe we don't see God work in ways that He could because we're simply not passionate about our prayer life. Or we really may not actually believe that it's effective. We just hope it's effective when we're in a moment of crisis. Then we do everything we know to do. Lord, I believe you can. Lord, and for the record, you should. All I'm saying, friend, is that if we started to develop a passionate prayer life and really spend some time on our knees, something is really a problem, something is really burdened, we really are burdened for someone in our church who gave this request, and we really actually started to fervently pray, the Bible tells us the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In other words, it accomplishes a lot. So, there's just a few simple things that we shared today. Again, there's no way that I could give you everything. I'm not intelligent enough to give you everything on the substance of prayer. But we talked about the goal of prayer, the timing of prayer, the result of prayer, and the passion of prayer. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Brother Tech, would you mind to dismiss this hour of Sunday school and go ahead and ask the Lord for the blessing on the service?